Praise the Lord. So let's go over to Luke 2:10. Tonight we're going to talk about the fear nots of Christmas. Y'all know I'm kidding about that bag. They do that because they like to honor, but praise the Lord. We know. Luke 2. Christmas, you know, Luke 2. Praise the Lord. It's already been a good one for us. We've already, I don't know how many parties and things we've already had and been to and had fun, and it has been really good. And just a few more now with families, and if things aren't working out right, Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. Healing is still available. God is still a God of love, and He will take care of us. All right. So I want to point out to you the four fear nots of Christmas. And four times an angel talks to people and he tells them to fear not, all in the Christmas story here. So people say, and I know y'all are veterans in this, so it'll only take me a second to go through this, but a lot of people say a little fear is good. I say no. I say wisdom is good, not fear. You don't teach your child, you don't say this, honey, don't go out in the street, a car will hit you. That puts the wrong picture in their mind. But what you do is you take them out to the street and you say, now look here, see these cars going up and down the street? This is what you need to be aware of so you can make the right decision. So that's why we don't just walk out in the street. There's a lot of difference in that. A lot of difference. And it gets to be old habit. I know around our house when we were kids, there was a lot of that. A lot of that, watch out, da, 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 you know, that'll bite you or whatever. But they didn't know. But now we've been taught, so we know. So we don't have to instill fear to get our kids to do the right thing. You know, like, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. All right, so now here's the thing. Fear is the reciprocal of faith. They work exactly the same way, but they're at different polar ends. They do something different, but they work the same way. They're not opposites because they work the same way, but they function the same. Fear pulls in the enemy. Fear will pull in what the enemy wants to do. That's his force, if you will. That's what he uses. And faith pulls in God's will. So fear will pull in the enemy's will. Faith will pull in God's will. So whatever it may be, we fear not. The Bible says then over in 1 John 4 that perfect love casts out fear. Now, the important thing about that, a lot of Christians will just get legal real quick and run to that and just say, if we just love and we get this right, fear will leave us. That's not what that means at all. If you read it in the context, it simply means that if you'll get to know love himself, if you will know love himself and see how much he loves you and find out how good he is, then that his perfected love in you will push out that fear. You're not afraid when you know the biggest person in the neighborhood's for you. I mean, when you walk down the street with your big brothers, you didn't have a problem. Amen. They were there to protect you. Amen. You know, I think I'm going to go over there and read that because there's so much to it, and my notes are really short, and this will just take a second. I'm at 1 John 4, and I want to look at let's go to verse 16 there. Go there with me real quick, and then we'll just walk through these things pretty quickly. Love cast out fear. The God who is love, when believed, will cause fear to leave. Okay? Now, because then on the day when trouble tries to rise up, you won't fear. That's what. I thought it'd be better if we looked at this. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. See, church, don't get upset with people that don't believe. They don't have the light. They're only functioning on their intellect. So they don't have that light. So they make decisions about everything that comes in to their five senses. But once you believe in Jesus and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, there's a light that comes on into you. You know the one that said light be over in Genesis 1? The one that says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. That light came in you, and then it brings on enlightenment all the time. So we understand revelation. So herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, day of judgment, this is not judgment day, okay? The day of judgment means the day when you have to make a decision between light and dark. See, herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness. This love that keeps you from fearing will give you the boldness to make the right choice when you're accused by the devil. Because that's what you have to understand. The devil is the accuser. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Okay? So if he's the accuser of the brethren, he's always going to try to make you feel condemned. He's always going to try to tempt you to do something. And if you do it, then he'll condemn you for it. What a loser he is. Amen. But that is what he does. But I'll tell you, listen to the next verse. There is no fear in love. The right up above it says God is love. So there's no fear in God. God doesn't have any fear in him. And he's not putting fear on you. They say, well, what about the fear of the Lord? You're going to have to translate and meditate. That means reverence. Right. That doesn't mean you're afraid of him. That means you honor him. Right. That means you don't lightly esteem God. Yeah. That King James just uses it there. This is the afraid fear here. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So the love there, torment is embedded in fear. You know how you feel? You get that dread, or your throat gets dry, or you get anxious or whatever. You have a reaction when fear tries to strike across you. But there is no fear in God. So when you begin to believe the love and you know how good God is, you don't get that strike as often, and eventually less and less of it. And so you don't have to fear, is what I'm trying to tell you. So it flushes it out. And that's its goal. That's love's goal. You'll be victorious. Okay. Now, so here are the four fear nots that occurred around Christmas. First one is Luke 2, where you were. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, he's saying, fear not, because a Savior is born. So, the point here, church, is you don't have to fear whether you're going to heaven or not. Right. If you're a born-again Christian. You don't have to fear, because this isn't based on your works. It's not based on your works. It's based on the finished works of Jesus. And so by grace, you're saved through faith, not through fear. Not through fear, and you're trying to get things done to make sure God likes you. How many people have you heard over the years, they'll ask people, do you think you're going to go to heaven? And they'll say, well, I think I've been good. But good won't get you there. The price is already paid. And I can't tell you the funerals that I've done where everybody's standing there with their cowboy hat in their hand, and we're out at the graveyard, and everybody's hanging their head. And when I say, it's not based on your behavior, it's based on you believing that Jesus paid for your sins. Chins come up, people light up, people start feeling better, because they realize this is not about works. So we don't have to fear that we're going to get in and then get out tomorrow because we did something wrong. That's not the way it works. Amen. So he didn't save you for a moment until you could get it together. Now, that's a big belief in some churches. In some places, they say, well, you know, he saved you and you're saved by grace, but then you better behave. Well, now, we need to let the scripture interpret itself. Because the Apostle Paul told us very clearly that you're saved by grace, that now you're walking in the blessing of Abraham. Your sins have all been paid for. Everyone you ever did, everyone you ever will do, it's all been paid for. You received that. But the reason now for doing good isn't based on earning God's love or earning heaven. You do good because there's a devil out there that we just talked about that will accuse you day and night. And he will go to the courts of heaven and try to get you to pay. That's what he does. He's like the prosecutor. And so we don't plead innocent, we plead the blood. Amen. So we know that Jesus' blood washed us clean. Amen. So we never have to fear our salvation. We are saved. Amen. Could you get out of it? Yeah, but it's very, 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 very hard. Okay? It would be very difficult. God loves you. Okay? Now, the second one is the fear not of the humanly impossible. Luke 1:30 says, and the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Man, I like singing those songs about nothing being impossible. I like quoting that scripture about nothing being impossible. Because I tell you, there's been some things in my life that looked like it was utterly impossible, and they happened. I had a disease when I was a kid. I had asthma when I was a kid, disease, whatever you want to call it. God healed me. I have never had to strain to take a breath again. I believe that healing's still in there. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell you, there's been so many other things. Both of my knees been healed. I could tell you all kind of things that have been healed. Miracles that have happened. I've seen all kinds of miracles. I've seen me obtain properties that I thought I could never get. Watch this building get paid, half of it get paid off in a day. Yeah. Things that you know, we got this place by a miracle. And I'm sure you've seen that. You probably woke up one day and something about one of your children. And you're like, well, I didn't know if I'd ever see this day. And boom, it happened. There are all sorts of things. There are people that couldn't have babies that had babies. There are people that were trying to do this or doing that, and it happened. This was a virgin, and she became pregnant, and it's a true story. All things are possible with God. You can be healed, you can be delivered, you can prosper, you can own what God wants you to own, you can be delivered, you can have a great ministry, you can have a great company, you can even believe God, sow your seed, and get a go-kart.
That's right.
That's what one of our teenagers did. Praise the Lord. So Caden got himself a go-kart by sowing seed and believing God. So thank you, Jesus. Now, so there's just so many things that we think that are not possible. And it's because we don't see how it could be. You put your mind too much to it. You start thinking, I don't see how it could be. I just don't see how it could be. Start thinking like that. You look too much with the natural eye. Well, you know, I was going to buy a $300,000 property. That one's $750,000. You know what I learned from Pastor Nancy? Don't look at the price. Look at the favor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because you can walk into things like that, and these are just some ideas, you know. Thank God people have been delivered, raised from the dead, all sorts of things God has done. So the point is here is the natural man, the natural eye says, I don't know how it could be. But if you're going to look with your natural eye, you're not going to see it. But what does 2 Corinthians say? It says that the eye hath not seen and the ear has not heard, and it hadn't entered into the heart of man what God has stored up for those that love him. So you have to look with the eye of faith, not the eye of fear. The fears will just tell you, you can't do that. Nobody's ever done that. There's just no way you're going to be able to do that. But the word says you can. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Just think of one situation right now. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a relationship. I'll just be quiet till y'all finish talking. Just let me know when you're done. Thank you, Jesus. All done? Okay. So, do you want to see the impossible? So, if a virgin birth is possible with God, then everything else certainly is. There shouldn't be any trouble with that. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So you get rid of fear. You replace it with faith. You see your impossibility become a possibility. It can happen. You can be free. You can have. There are things that people think they're never going to get to, but they can. If they'll just start looking through the eye of faith and stop fearing. So the key here is to look at the favor you have with God, and you will not fear that it will be impossible. It will get done. Man, you think about years ago when you first started this. Maybe some of y'all were kids. You're blessed to know all this now. But, you know, I was just late 30s when I found out the truth. I was born again, but I found out the truth. And so I didn't know about debt freedom. I didn't, you know, I was like, a debt-free car? What? But now we're way down the path, you know? A debt-free house? Way down the path. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Good life? Way down the path. Things are, and every time something happens that you thought was impossible, you can just mark it as a faith extender. It doesn't increase your faith, but it extends it. It helps you get to the next place. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because faith only comes by hearing and hearing. It does not come by praying or anything else. It just comes by hearing and hearing. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, all things are possible. The key here is that you look at the favor once again. The third thing is the fear of unanswered prayer. Luke 1:13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. The answer to fear of unanswered prayer is the truth that you have been heard. You have been heard. God heard your prayer. Fear not, Zechariah, I heard you. What kind of prayers does he hear? Oh God, if you could just please, I'll make a deal with you. I promise I'll never do that again. If you'll just play. No. Or, God, where are you? This is not working. No. It's, Lord, I know you heard me. And I believed I received. And I have this. That's how it works. Amen? It's a prayer of faith. So the answer to fear of an unanswered prayer, once again, is the truth that you have been heard. He has heard you. And listen to this scripture. This is 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So God hears faith prayers. He does not hear fear. He doesn't. He goes, what prayer? I mean, if you're ever in a situation where you got to say something quick, just say Jesus or plead the blood, because he hears that. Remember Brother Copeland's old story? I remember a long, long time ago. He in his true story about the two airplanes that were flying, and they were headed straight into each other, and they were going to crash. Mm-hmm. And they picked up in the airports what they were saying. One of them cussed. One of the pilots cussed and said, "We're all dead." And the other one said, "In the name of Jesus." And everybody in the Jesus plane lived. Yep. And everybody in the other plane died. Yep. That ought to tell you something right there. Thank you, Jesus. And the fourth thing, the fear not of immediate obedience. I like this one. The fear not of immediate obedience. Luke 1:13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name." Then you'll drop down, and we shall call his name John. And then here's another scripture. He's telling him to fear not. This is what's going to happen. You're going to name him this. Now you remember what happened? They ever said, "There's nobody in your family named John. Y'all can't name him that. He's going to have to be Zechariah. He's going to have to be, you know." And he's like, "No fear. His name is John." And then we see Joseph. What about Joseph? Joseph is going to put Mary away privily. And what happens? An angel appears to him in a dream. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. When God tells you to do something, there needs to be no fear. Just act. This is where we say, get those butts out of the way. Gotta get them out of the way, because you're talking to the God of the universe here. And if he tells you to do something, that means he's got you covered. "Yeah, but Lord, we can't. We don't have..." Well, wait a minute. Did he tell you to do it? See, that's always the answer. "Yeah, Lord, I'm thinking about that right there. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of something." Let's just touch this. You all know this, but this is a good season to remember this. The doctrine of doors. This is what a lot of people teach in the church, and it's not Bible. "Well, I tried that, and the door didn't open, so it wasn't the Lord." Now, that's been taught down through the ages, but it's not in the Bible. The only door teaching is about Jesus entering, about the shepherd entering through the door. That's the only door teaching you're going to see. So what happens to people is they're going with their faith, and if something doesn't come to pass right away, they back off. You know, they're knock, 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 knock. And then, "Oh, well, it didn't open." Can I tell you that sometimes faith kicks the door down? Sometimes you don't give up at the first shut door. If you give up... But you're going to come across that. You're going to come across people that say, "You know, I thought I was supposed to do that, but God closed the door. Because the Reverend Mother said that the door opened somewhere else on the Sound of Music." That's why they never could solve the problem of Maria. That was good right there. All the people that have never watched The Sound of Music. I won't sing it. Okay. It's tempting. Think about when God told David to do something. He ran. He ran to it. He didn't go, "Well, Lord, I'll try the door. Let me try the door. And if I get up close enough to Goliath and he doesn't scare me, maybe I'll try something." No, he just ran up there and said, "I'm going to get you. You're going down, you uncircumcised Philistine. You are not in covenant, and I am, and I'm taking you down." And that's how we need to handle the enemy right there. See, I didn't finish the thing about doors, but I'll tell you this right now. Don't wait to try the door. Just ask God. "Is this your will? Is that my car? Is that my house? Is that my husband? Is this the next thing I'm supposed to do? Is this the..." Just ask him. You don't have to play "let's make a deal." Yeah. Door number one, door number two, door number three. Which one of my boyfriends, which one of those Wallaces will I marry? It's true in my life. But you don't, you just can hear God talk. He talked. Well, God doesn't talk to people. Well, I have not seen, and ear has not heard. If you're just going to listen with your five senses, you will not hear him. But you have an unction from the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and God will lead you and guide you and talk to you. And maybe you don't hear that voice. Maybe you're not one of those persons, but you can sure get an unction. And after a while, you will hear it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we can just be obedient and go right in. So God tells you to do something. I heard Brother Copeland say this for the last 30 years. Do not consult flesh and blood after he tells you. Well, I think the Lord told me to do this. What do you think? What do you care what they think? God of the universe told you to do it. He's talking to you from the inside. The only time that you're going to need to ask somebody or talk to somebody, if you're talking to your spiritual mentor or your spiritual leader and you want confirmation about it. Yeah. Where does this bear witness with you? And I'll just say this. Sometimes the spiritual leader has messed up. But just don't quit, because God will get you promoted. You just stay faithful and don't try to jump the fence and go eat in another pasture. Just stay faithful and somehow God will turn that thing around. Amen. And I'm going to say this to you as we're closing too. If you don't know if it was God or not, it wasn't. I don't know if that was. Now, here's the only time that I would flip that around, and that's this. When we're resisting being obedient.
Yeah.
Give $1,000. Get thee behind me, Satan. Go see so-and-so. You need to go see him and pray for him. Oh, I don't know. I just think I thought of that. Yeah. Right? Okay, y'all didn't like that one too much, but praise the Lord. It's still the truth. We've all done it. Praise the Lord. So now here's the thought as we close here. Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear. No more than God can do anything for us apart from faith. It's the same thing. Faith moves God because faith is in God. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. Amen. So if fear tries to come, you speak and you say, I will not fear. God cannot do that for you. That's your part. You have to do it. If you do it, then perfect love will work that thing out. So fear not. You have a Savior and he's taking care of everything. Fear not. You found favor. So all things are possible to you. Fear not, because God hears your prayer. Fear not, because you can step right out there on what God says and he will back you up all the way. Amen. The four fear nots of Christmas: the fear of salvation, the fear of humanly impossible, the fear of unanswered prayer, the fear of immediate obedience. You are eternally paid for. All things are possible with God. This is scripture. God wants you to live a life with joy of answered prayer. This is big with God. He wants you to enjoy a life of answered prayer. And God will give you every grace you need to do what he's called you to do. If God called you to do, God knew that Joseph was going to have to take the baby and Mary over to Egypt. And here came the Magi. And they did church. They did not give a cigar box with a piece of gold and some myrrh and hand the cigar box like we see the kids do. It was a caravan coming in. The camels were coming. And they brought in all the goods it took to finance Jesus beyond Egypt. God will provide for you. Here's the old saying, where God guides, He provides. Yep. Where God guides, He provides, and He always will. If He tells you to go to Africa, He'll provide. If He tells you to go to Australia, He'll provide. If He tells you to go to Marble Falls, He'll provide. If He tells you to go to HEB, He'll provide. Amen. He is good. He is a good God all the time. He didn't do the tornadoes. He didn't kill people. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't make you lose to teach you a lesson. There's so many lies in the church today. People growing up, well, you know, I guess the Lord wanted to teach me patience. He just wanted to teach me patience. So He said no, or He just taught me patience because we had this trouble. By now, if you've been here for a while, you better wash that out of your thinking, because it's not Bible. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a force. This is not true. Well, the Lord's teaching me patience. No, I'll teach you patience right now. Patience is a force that you employ. If you get into a situation, it means stay consistent. It means stay consistent. So you get in a situation, employ patience. All right, I don't care how it looks. I'm standing on this.
Yeah.
That's patience. Yes. Patience isn't, well, I just know I need to wait and wait and wait and wait. You better go read your Bible for real. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those are forces of the Spirit that you employ, and they come out and they work for you on the scene when you need them. They are not things that you have to learn to do. Your flesh can't do it. Can I tell you that you're no match for the devil's spiritual world? But boy, with you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You've got Jesus on the inside of you. And you know the Word of God. You can take Him down in a millisecond. Amen. Amen.